Hey, good morning, boys. Do you know of anybody to pray for this morning? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, God, for this day. And I pray that your will be done. God, we pray for Brother David and Sister Joanne. Lord, we pray that you be with them. God, and we just pray for your will to be done in our lives, God. Pray for all those who are suffering throughout the world, Lord, who need your help. Help us, God. Help us to hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew 15. Okay, let's see. In the chapter just before, it said that they sent out into all the surrounding region, and they brought to Jesus all who were sick, and they begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So, in the last chapter, Jesus was healing all these sick people. All these sick people, Jesus was healing and he was helping them. And he was just doing just amazing, amazing things. He had just walked on the water. And he was just doing some wonderful things. Okay? But then the very next thing it says that, in chapter 15 it says, then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, they came to Jesus. And they said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. So Jesus is doing all these wonderful things, helping all these sick people. And then these guys come and ask him, how come his disciples don't wash their hands? Okay, it's a little silly, I think. But Jesus says to them, he says, why do you transgress the commandment of God? So they were asking him, how come he's breaking the traditions of men? And he answers with, well, why do you break the tradition of God? Or why do you break the commandment of God? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit or money you might have received from me, it's a gift to God. Then that man doesn't need to honor his father and mother. And Jesus is saying, thus you have made that commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And then he calls them hypocrites. He says they've got it backwards. He says, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So he's saying that they're making a big deal about their hands being dirty. And what he's saying is, what you should be worried about is your heart. Whether or not your heart's dirty. And that's where the real need is. He says, when he called the multitude of people to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you say this? But Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. So Jesus is saying you don't even really need to worry about them because they are going to reap what they sow. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And Jesus said, are you also without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then it's eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those things defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, or lying. blasphemies. And these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Then Jesus went out from there. I just want to point out that Jesus was trying to teach these people, and he was trying to teach the Pharisees when he told them that it's not your hands that you need to be worried about. It's your heart. It's what comes out of your heart. And it says that the Pharisees were offended. You know, sometimes, the truth for us is hard and we don't like to hear it and it offends us. But it shouldn't. We should let it show us what we need to work on in ourselves. So, verse 21, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now this woman, she was not Jewish. She was not a Jew. She was a Canaanite woman, okay? And they were, known for, those were the people that the Jews had battled. Had done lots of bad things. And so they were not God's chosen people at that time. And so, but this woman, this Canaanite woman, she still comes to Jesus. She says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he did not answer her. And his disciples came and they urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's saying, I was just sent for the Jews. And then she came and she worshipped him and she said, saying, Lord, help me. Okay? So Jesus is saying that he came for the Jews, but this woman, she is persisting. She calls him Lord and she begs him to help her. But he answers and he says to her, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay? This was a hard saying, all right? He was telling her, he was saying that she was not part of God's people, that she was on the other side. She was with the dogs. And it was just a hard saying. But this woman, she wasn't like the Pharisees. She didn't get offended at this hard saying that may have been true, But she says, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And, she recognizes maybe she is on the wrong side, but she lays down her life at Jesus' feet and just takes what he gave her. And then Jesus, as if this was a test for her, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Another thing, this woman, didn't seem to be worried about herself. She was trying to help her daughter. And so she put herself aside and just got help for her daughter. Okay, Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into a boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Okay. So Jesus, in the last chapter, had fed the 5,000. And in this chapter, he feeds the 4,000. And so Jesus was doing all these good things. And some people were offended. And some people came to Jesus, brought their needs to Jesus, and looked to him for help. So for next week, for everybody, the assignment is to think of something that you can do for somebody in your family that's kind, or something for your neighbor, or just anybody you know. Something, just one little thing that you can do to help somebody, okay, this week. Just think about it. If you have time this week, you can do it. But more importantly, I want you to think about something to do that's kind.
Last week, we were told to give an example of someone who was faithful. And Abraham was faithful. He listened to the Lord when the Lord told him to go out. He didn't even know where he was going, but he went out where the Lord told him to go.
Job was faithful through all of his trials, and the Lord was pleased with him.
Elijah was a faithful prophet. And I was just reading about in 3 Kingdoms 18 where God told him to go to Ahab and tell him that the famine would, and Ahab had been searching for Elijah for a lot, and if he had looked at, here there's a verse that it said, 3 Kingdoms 18:10. As the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to hunt you. If they said he is not here, then he sent fire to the kingdom and its territories. So it took faith for Elijah to go to Ahab. And then, in the end of that chapter, the victory over Baal, where he had the prophets of Baal build the altar for Baal and have him send down fire for it, but they couldn't do it. And then he built an altar and poured water on it and had the, and then God brought down fire and consumed the whole altar and the water and everything. So that he had faith, and God gave him that miracle. So Elijah was faithful.
I got Hebrews 11:11. Some churches think that Sarah was just not faithful because she laughed when they told her she could have a baby. But here in the Bible it says, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised.
In Hebrews 11:5 it talks about Enoch. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he wouldn't see death by the flood, and they went out to look for him. But they couldn't find him because God took him up because he didn't want him to die. He was faithful to God.
Mine was the same as Bill's. And the Bible says that Enoch was such a good man that he would walk with God and just doesn't say very much about him, but it just says how he was really faithful, and he was so faithful that God didn't want him to die, so he translated him before he died.
When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai and they're all worshiping the golden calf, he just remained faithful and didn't go off and with the crowd and did what all they were doing, and he stayed with God. I thought of Peter. Probably took a lot of faith for him to get back up after he had denied Jesus, and Jesus was dead, when he could have been like Judas and quit.
In James, it talks about the difference between having just faith and having just works, that how that we should show our faith by our works, and like I've said a couple weeks ago, how John the Baptist was, the parable of the Good Samaritan. He did what he knew was right, even if he wasn't necessarily he wasn't an Israelite, wasn't one of God's people. And also I thought about John the Baptist, how he had been called, God chose him to before he was born, even to come and preach and make way for Jesus coming and tell everybody, and he just did what he knew he needed to do.
I got a couple verses in Hebrews 11:24-26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And when he grew up, Egypt was, he could have had a high place in Egypt, maybe been the next Pharaoh or something, had a real high place, but he just did the right thing and went and with the people of God and was faithful and led them out of Israel.
I had the same as Arthur, Hebrews 11:24-25. By faith, when Moses came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passion and pleasures of sin for a season.
I had Gideon when he was supposed to fight the battle with the Midianites, and he had a way smaller army, and he had faith, and God helped him win.
I had David. He was faithful in doing the little things at guarding his father's sheep while his brothers were out with Saul and his army. I thought that was a lot more fun than just guarding sheep, but he stayed faithful and just protected the sheep.
I decided to share some reflections from my Bible reading. I started reading in John. I just thought I'll just start simple and read the book of John and kind of meditate on that. And Jesus was the Word in the beginning, and he was the light that lights every man. And John the Baptist was sent to reflect that light. And I just thought about John the Baptist and how he was faithful because he didn't take any glory for himself. He reflects the light of Christ, and he rejoiced in Christ. It says that he rejoices because Christ is the bridegroom, and he's the one whose bride is the church. And I don't know if that's how it was. You know the part I'm talking about. And John the Baptist said that he must decrease but Christ must increase. And I thought about how in our lives, we're learning things from people, you know, our parents and people that love us and who are caring for us. And the more we learn, the more we decrease our own, what we want to do in our life, and we take these things and we learn them, these truths and this wisdom that people are trying to impart to us and instill in our lives. And it's a blessing to realize that Christ is the light that lights every man that comes into the world, and it's not the wisdom that is in the world is not from us, from any one of us particularly, but it's handed, passed down, and it all, it's the light. It's the light that lights us all, and we can learn from each other, and none of us, like me, I can't say that I have more light than, or that I have my own light. I'm just reflecting what I've been taught and the things that I'm learning, and I'm rejoicing in that every day. And I'm recognizing that it's not from me, and it's from the people who really care for me and who are looking out for me every day.